You have a sermon outline in your bulletin, if you would. Pull that out. You can pull your Bible out as well if you'd like to, but the sermon outline will make things far easier to follow. It's a phrase-by-phrase breakdown. The words have not been changed. The word order has not been changed. We've just segregated out the phrases because that's what we do here. We look at things phrase by phrase in context, and as we do so, I think we're better able to spot the main ideas that God wants us to follow, and then the ideas that help us to understand the main ideas. So we want to focus on the main things, the plain things, and by doing this, it kind of helps with that. Let's pray together again, if we could. Thank you, Father, for this great privilege to be able to be here. Thank you for Doreen's testimony. Thank you for the testimony of so many others here. You coming and interrupting our lives. Father, we pray that if anybody here is not trusting Christ as Savior and Lord, that indeed they would do so even now. Thank you for the high call in our lives, having trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. You have a plan, and that plan plainly includes us following Christ moment by moment, day by day, and as followers of Christ, that means we're leaders, leaders of others, that we're able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. We're able to say that to our husbands and wives, able to say that to our children and grandchildren, able to say that to fellow church members and those in society, business, sports, wherever we find ourselves. Thank you for this high call upon our lives to be leaders in the kingdom as followers of Christ. Grow us in this great call, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll notice on your sermon outline, and if you're listening online, you can download this online as well, where the audio sermons are found. We just have some individual verses listed to begin with, where the main ideas, the main commands are found, the introduction and then the main commands, and then we'll pick it up in chapter 2 with a verse-by-verse, phrase-by-phrase continuation. What I want to do with this, and this will, sometimes I'm asked, why do you review so much? Because I don't get it right the first time or the second time or the third time. I want to get it right this time. Here's what I want you all to do, what I want me to do, what I've done this week, and what I want you all to do is to insert your name, insert your pronoun in these words. And to choose, this is a leadership letter, and to choose the one that you are leading. Might be a son, might be a grandson, granddaughter, daughter. Might be other family members, might be other folks, another person in the church. Think of the person that is looking up to you whether you like it or not. They're looking up to you. You're the example as a follower of Christ. Let's read this together as we do that. Verse 1, this is about how to lead. That's what the whole letter really, that's the big theme of the whole letter. Verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ. What I insert here is Ed, that's my name, a follower of Christ. Everybody got it? What I want you to do, put your name in there and put down at least a follower of Christ, which means you are, therefore, a leader. You're following Christ. You're asking others to follow you as you follow Christ. Add a follower of Christ by the will of God. Doreen made that plain. You're here because of the will of God, God working in your life supernaturally, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. All this lines up with this great promise to the planet that we have life when we are trusting Christ. That's the foundation of our lives. The next verse I didn't include, but it simply says to Timothy, and so I want you to write to, who are you going to put here? I'm going to put to Ryan. to David, to Jonathan. Those are my sons, by the grace of God. I'm going to put to Steve DeWitt, to David Romberger, to Steve Pettit and Ken and Matt and Andrew and Justice. These are guys that we have a discipleship group together studying the things of elders. I need to be able to insert all of their names. To Ryan, to David, to Jonathan, etc. Next verse, verse 3. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience. Dads, that's a tough thing to say. To look at your son, to look at the person that's looking up to you and say, I'm serving the Lord with a clear conscience. What does that mean? You're going to blow it. It means you apologize. That's what that means. Apologize to God. Apologize to others who are misled by you sinning, blowing it. I thank my God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Can you say that to another person? Can you say that to your son, to your daughter, to another person in the kingdom of God? I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. And then to the, that's foundational. That's our identity. Foundation for leadership is prayer, worship, prayer, connection with God. And now we go to the instruction. And the rest of this is going to be the what we call the imperatives in the English or Greek language, the commands. That's what I'm going to key in on. This is direct instruction. All the rest of it is the reasons for and the how to live out and all like that. But I'm going to key in on the direct commands in this passage, in this book, about how to be a leader. And I need to be able to speak these to David. I need to be able to speak these to Jonathan, to Ryan, and to the other guys that we're in discipleship together. Chapter 1, verse 6, under instruction. Kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you, goes on to say, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. So kindle afresh the gift of God. That's Paul speaking to Timothy. That's us speaking to the one that is following us to get them fired up. This is a big deal that God has saved us, that God has called us into ministry. Think of the girls' volleyball team on Friday night. They made the other team cry. Or the I'm kidding. I don't, maybe I'm not kidding. I don't know. I don't know what their reaction was. But how does your coach get you fired up? Yeah. Could she do better? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, but you get each other fired up. It's a sport, but you're getting fired up before. You don't just walk on the court and go, you know. Yeah, I mean you're into it. You know, watch the football game yesterday, 0-0. My grandson's playing a quarterback in the game, and tackle football is 0-0 at halftime. You know, and I can just hear my son in the locker room firing up the team. Right? It's just a game, but that's what coaches do. Far bigger is what we do. We're members of the kingdom of God, and we got to fire each other up when we go on the field, which is all the time, all of our waking moments, right? Think about your salvation. Think about the gift of God. It's amazing that God uses the frailty of our witness to save others and to build up others. And so, Timothy, kindle afresh the gift of God. Get fired up. Verse 8, number 2. This is the first instruction is fire up the grace of the gift of God in you. That's your gifts. That's your calling. Verse 8, number 2, command or instruction. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me, his prisoner, but join. Here's the imperative. Join with me in suffering according to the power of God. Jonathan, Join with me in suffering according to the power of God. David, join me in suffering according to the power of God. You've seen people hate your dad. It's okay. It's okay. It's nothing compared to what Paul was going through. I mean, nothing at all, or many of our brothers and sisters throughout the globe. But what little we go through, that person that's following you, you need to say, join me in suffering. Now, what that means is open your mouth. Because if you just live the Christian life, you're going to get the credit for being a really good guy or gal. But when you open your mouth and convict and be used by God to convict people of sin and their need to trust Christ and start life all over again, some people are going to hate you. Open your mouth anyway as followers of Christ. Number 3, verse 13, retain, son, Ryan, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. You've heard me teach publicly. You've heard me teach privately. Retain those words that come from Scripture itself. Meditate on them and apply them. Number 4, verse 14 of chapter 1. Son, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. What is the treasure? This is all by way of review, by the way. What is the treasure? It's your salvation, your gifts, your calling. It's also the salvation of others and their gifts and their calling. It's a package deal. That package, be alert. Be on your watch. Satan prowls about like a roaring lion seeking who to devour. Be alert. This is a war that we're in. More about that momentarily. Number 5, 2 Timothy chapter 2 now. And we have these words. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of God which is in Christ Jesus. I mentioned last time, I don't think we emphasize the be strong, although that's part of it, man up, woman up, but be strong in the grace of God. That's the big idea. Know that you're enveloped, son, Jonathan, David, Ryan, know that you're enveloped by the grace of God, the unmerited love of God. And in that, you can be strong no matter who hates you and who is social, you know, is destroying you on the social internet and whatever else. Be strong. Know that you're in the center of the love of God if you've trusted Christ. All right? That's verse 1 of chapter 2. Now verse 2. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, in other words, all of us need to be sharing, at least in life group and in our family gatherings and publicly to whatever degree, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, the idea of the presence of many witnesses, I think the idea is you've heard me share this publicly, and you know that some people don't like me for it. Those things that people don't like me for, keep talking about, I think is the point. These things of the Bible, the gospel and the other truths of the Bible, truths of God, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Key word there is faithful. A lot of people say they want to know about the Lord. They want to grow in the things of the Lord. Son, Steve, whoever is studying for eldership, look for faithful men. What does that mean? Guys who show up. They're not flighty. They're not, they might be there, they might not, any given Sunday, any given Wednesday, any given ministry time, whatever it may be. They're guys that are faithful. Most of ministry is showing up and being you. That's ministry. Show up and be the you that God's designed you to be. And it's amazing what takes place. That's life group. That's any ministry team you're involved in. That's Sunday morning. Show up and be released to be you as God has created you. All right? So look for faithful men. Our time is extremely valuable. A lot of people play around. And our offer here at this church is exactly this. My personal schedule, I'm beating around here every day, all day long, just looking for something to do, okay? And so if you're a faithful man, I offer you personal discipleship on a weekly basis. Us getting together week by week by week by week, and I guarantee you will grow in a hurry. We're not just going to be doing the head stuff. We're going to be doing the whole discipleship thing, marriage and everything else. But it's going to be built from Scripture, and we'll be going out together and the like. So please, and there's other men as well. If you want to be a disciple, let us know. But you can't be flighty, because we got a lot of stuff we're beating around with, okay? And that's true for ladies. There's ladies here that are glad to disciple other ladies. And so if you want to be a discipler or a disciplee or both, please let us know. Verse 2 is just huge. The things which we have heard in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men. I'm going to put the word women. Faithful women, faithful men, but it's men with men, women with women, who will be able to teach others also. We want to be discipling those who we can sense in them the desire. Maybe they say, I don't know how to. That's fine. But the desire to be a discipler, that's who we're looking to disciple. Verse 3 of chapter 2, number 7 command, number 7 word of instruction. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Wait, haven't we heard? Didn't he already say that? Well, back in verse 8, he said, join me, Paul said to Timothy, join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Now, here he says, suffer hardship with me. Quite similar. That line's really the same. But he adds this, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, let's read verses 3 through 7 and get the picture here. It's all one unit, and it's built on suffer hardship with me. Another way to translate that is open your mouth. Share the gospel. Because if you don't, you're not going to suffer hardship. Verse 3 again. Through 7. I'm going to just read this out loud. I'm going to put it together. This is adding to chapter 1, verse 8, join me in suffering for the gospel. All right? So we've got some more details on how to suffer for the gospel, if you will. All right? The mindset we are to have when we go to Planned Parenthood, when we go to Bayfest, when we go wherever we go. This is the later today, wherever we find ourselves, shopping center, whatever. This is the mindset we have. Suffer hardship with me, so we go into the marketplace, we're okay with people giving us a hard time. We're okay with that. We get it. Suffer hardship with me, but listen now, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Next illustration. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win unless he competes according to the rules. And next illustration, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to share or receive in his share in the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. All right, so he's giving us the mindset that we are to have as we are okay with suffering because we're opening our mouths in public, okay? So verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer, okay? So let's go ahead and look at each of these illustrations together. This is how we go. Where was the last public place I was? The football game. Yeah, because I was here. Yeah. So the football game was last public tackle football on Saturday. So I have the job description to be on the sideline with a clipboard, making sure all of the bad players, all of the not as good players on the opposing team had their time in the game. It's one of the rules of the game, okay? So the players that weren't very good, they had to be in the game also to give a number of plays. So I'm on the sideline, and there's a dude from their team that was standing with him. So we were partners together. I'd never met him before, but I'm going, this is excellent. We're like chained together. We have to stick together. We're going to go up and down the sidelines, move all over the place, but this guy's got to stay with me. This is perfect. This guy does not have a chance, and you know that, right? And so we get into it, and this guy was a guy that was spiritual. All right, you met him before, right? Well, I'm not really sure, but I'm spiritual. I'm going, okay, this is going to be a lot of fun. Because this has been the 1,000th conversation, or maybe more, with a guy that's spiritual. And so we got it going on, and it was a great time of sharing the gospel, and we had plenty of time to go into great detail, talk about his questions he had, and about the Bible, the veracity of Scripture, on and on and on, just a great time. But the mindset that I went to the game with, besides having tracks on me, the mindset that I went to the game with is this: I'm there as a soldier. Now, I want to watch my kid play football, okay? I'm really interested. It's kind of fun being on the sidelines because you get to watch your grandson. He's quarterback, and so he did some end-around runs, and so, like, he's right in front of you. I'm wanting to step out and kind of block the guy that's coming to chase him down, but I didn't do that, okay? I want to do it, but And so he's coming around the end, and you got the safety coming up to cream him. You got the linebacker coming from this angle chasing him down, and just watching him get creamed on the sideline. Just all kinds of fun. I mean, there's nothing more fun than that. So I want to watch the game, but I was there, though, on my mindset. Plus, I'm studying the passage, so I got it near memorized and hopefully memorized. And so I'm thinking about the passage. So I go to the game as a soldier. I go to the game as an athlete. I go to the game as a farmer. In other words, there's no time out in this life. And so this is the mindset that we have when we go into the marketplace, wherever it is. We're a soldier. And a soldier just doesn't do what he wants to do. They just don't. So look at the life of a soldier. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We're a soldier of Christ, and I know, though, if you have served in the military, I know this gets used. This whole soldier illustration thing gets used way too much, and your response is, but you haven't seen. I mean, everybody uses this thing, and it's cute, the soldier illustration, but you've not seen a guy have his head blown off. Okay, you haven't seen the blood and guts stuff that I've seen, and I hear you. And we appreciate our military people here that have had to go through that and are still living with that. We hear you. But understand this. Eternity in hell is a long time. And it's a heavier thing to think about a man or a woman going to hell than to think about a guy next to me having his head blown off. And I don't make light of either. I don't make light of either at all. But I want us to realize there is a titanic struggle for the souls of human beings on this planet, and it's not funny. It's serious. It's eternally deadly. This is a serious war that we're in. The guy with his head blown off, if he trusted Christ, best day of his life, best moment of his life, he's with the Lord. Tough for his family, tough for you. Best day of his life if he's trusting Christ. So, Paul, I got the scripture regardless. The soldiers saw some bloody stuff. They were whacking each other with swords and spears and clubs and fire and all that kind of thing. Suffer hardship with me as a... So God uses the illustration through Paul, so we got to use it. The big word here in verse 3 is the word as. Circle that word. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. He's already covered suffer hardship with me. Open your mouth. But now the mindset is as a soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer. So what's true of a soldier? Soldier is going to be there to do what? Obey the one who sent him into the arena. And so he doesn't, what? entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life. He's still got to eat, still got to drink, still got to, you know, clothe himself and do some basics. That guy's got to get some R&R, some rest, that kind of thing. But he's not entangled in those things. His focus is on his mission. Is that the way you live? Is that the way I live? And the person who's looking up to us, are we able to say, follow me as I follow Christ? I'm a soldier, and I'm not entangled in all the stuff of life. I have some R&R, I have some relaxation, I have play some sports, I have some fun. But my life, you know me, my life is focused on being a soldier for Christ Jesus. And so a soldier doesn't entangle himself, a follower of Christ does not entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life. Again, you got to feed yourself, brush your own teeth, that kind of thing, but you're not entangled in those things. Why? The goal is, the reward is to please the commanding officer. That's the reward. Second illustration, be like an athlete. And the Greek term is just the word that we transliterate athlete. It's athleo. It's just the word that means exercise or compete. Could be train. It's any number of things to do with athletics. Be athletic is kind of a general way to translate it. If anyone is athletic. But obviously the context has to do with competing, because we got the word prize. Doesn't win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And I think the idea with that is it's not just the competition according to the rules, but it's athleting himself according to the rules. In other words, volleyball girls, it would be if all your volleyball practices were just clowning around, grabbing a ball, and one of you pulls the nets down, the other one just throws the ball across the net, and the other person tries to bounce it off their noggin. You know, if that's how you train, how's it going to go in the game? Probably not well. Okay, so we train according to the rules of the game. Soccer's the same way, football's the same way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we got rules of the game. We follow the rules. For us, what are the rules? They can do whatever they want. They got no rules. We have the rules of Scripture, includes love your enemy. They can hate us, but we love them, et cetera, et cetera. They can be unforgiving, but we forgive, we choose to forgive them no matter what, et cetera. So we got rules. The rules make the game hard. Anybody find it easy to love an enemy? Tough. But those are the rules, and that's how we train, and that's how we enter and remain in the arena. So that's the life of an athlete. And then the third one is hardworking farmer ought to be the first to share in the crops. The idea is a farmer is what? Hardworking. An athlete, a soldier doesn't entangle himself. An athlete trains and competes according to the rules. A farmer is hardworking. We have a number of folks who are farmers from the north that visit us in the wintertime, and I asked them about their farming and how it goes down, and what was it like to grow up on the farm and take over your dad's farm, and you know, all of that. And one theme that is absolutely true: you wake up early and you go to bed late. You're just working all day. It's what you do. You work. And especially at certain times of the year, there's no slacking up. You're just working. Farmers work hard, and they're going to share in the crops. So let me add, first of all, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And so I would throw in the things that we've mentioned earlier. The Bayfest thing, show up, help us with that. It's nothing maybe magical is going to happen the moment that you're there, but it all works together. We work hard, and we are reaping, and we will reap as we continue to spend time in our society. Help us with that. So adding this up, soldier, athlete, farmer. Soldier doesn't entangle himself. Athlete competes according to the rules and trains according to the rules. Farmer is hardworking. The result, the reward for the soldier is to please the enlisting officer. For us, it would be to please Christ. Is there a greater reward than hearing, well done, good and faithful servant? For the athlete, what is the reward? Receiving the prize. Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the stewardship in this body. And at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be a rewards thing that I don't want to go into, but if you want to jot down 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, in and around that, you'll find a great passage on us receiving rewards for the stewardship in the body. Heaven's not a reward, it's just the stewardship of what God's entrusted to us, the using of those things well. And then the hardworking farmer receives his share of the crops, receives indeed the blessings that come from a life following Christ, a life in the kingdom now and eternally. What do these have in common? Well, verse 7, consider what I say. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. So as I've considered this, here's a few observations I've had. None of these things are done in one's spare time. Okay? Not just, well, if I got time. That's not how we approach our walk with Christ. None of these are done in spare time. Just an observation. As I've obeyed verse 7, this is what's hit me. All of them require focus. Don't just happen. There's a focus. There's a planning that takes place. There's a strategizing. There's a dedication. There's a commitment. Here's another one, delayed gratification with all of them. That's maturity. And with all of them, they're okay with being in a battle. Farmers in a battle with weeds and the climate and the like. Bugs. Hardship. They're okay with hardship. All three of them. They're okay, just make it simple. They're okay with pain. Farmers get pain. Athletes have pain. Soldiers have pain. Welcome to Christianity. And I need to be able to look at my son, David, and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And this is how we follow Christ. I need to be able to look at Jonathan. Say, follow me as I follow Christ. With Ryan, follow me as I follow Christ. With my fellow elders and elder candidates, Steve, follow me as I follow Christ. This is the lifestyle we're called to. It's not pleasant. We're going to have as much fun as we can on the way. I think athletes, farmers, and soldiers have a lot of fun where they can. But it's a very serious call. And we're okay with the cost of the call. Verse 8. Next instruction. Remember Christ Jesus. Now, this is an understatement, right? I mean, we started with the whole thing of prayer at the front edge of just kind of laying the foundation for this. But now, as we're in this this thing of asking others to follow us as we follow Christ, the whole thing of remembering Christ is central to what we do. Remember Christ, and I think of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Speaking to Christians, it's like a race. I think of Sandy Manili training for these ridiculous races that she's in. I don't see her driving around the island in a golf cart, putting in her 26 miles. Okay, hadn't seen that yet, okay? That's one way to train. That's how I would train. Why are you running when we got at least mopeds? Like, what? Okay, I don't get that. But that's what she's training. And I completely lost my train of thought. That was funny, though, wasn't it? I have no idea where I'm at right now. Yeah, okay. Verse 8, let's get to it here. Remember Christ. Oh, it was Hebrews 12, that was it. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised its shame. Consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. And so many passages, we could spend the rest of the day just going through the athletic, military, struggle kind of passages in Scripture. So remember Jesus, focus on Jesus. Jesus had some struggles in this life. And he brings up two important phrases: risen from the dead, descendant of David. So as we're having others follow us as we follow Christ into hardship, into ministry, into suffering, as we do that, remember Christ risen from the dead. Why that phrase? He could have said there's 100 things or more he could have said about Christ to bring to our attention things about Christ. Why these two in this flow of thought, in this context? Jesus risen from the dead. Well, first of all, think about, how did he get dead? He went through some really hard stuff. And so he's asking us to also share and go through some hard stuff. All right? So just the word dead means he got dead. Somehow he got dead. He went through some really hard stuff to get dead. Also, it means what? He's got power over death. The most anybody can do to us is kill us. Best day of our life. And so Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so he's got this, no matter what happens. And Paul will address this at the end of the letter in chapter 4. Man, he's pumped about the day his head's going to roll off. All right? He's excited because Jesus has blown the sides out of death. So he's risen from the dead. He is all-powerful. He is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him will live though he dies. So many passages. He's risen from the dead. He is the living Lord. The big idea probably is he is the living Lord who has gone through it before us. That's a big idea. Remember Jesus, living Lord, sovereign, went through it before us. And then descendant of David. Where does that come in? What did the angel say to Mary about this son that she's going to have? He brought up a prophecy about David having a son, or indeed, that's in the lineage of David, there will be an eternal king. And Jesus is the one born to us in the lineage of David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's why David's brought up here. He is the eternal. He's sovereign right now, whatever you're going through. There's people giving you a hard time. He's totally sovereign in that situation. They can't touch you other than the sovereign one allowing them to. Sanctify Christ. Peter says in chapter 3, sanctify Christ as Lord. Don't fear their intimidation. Don't be troubled by them. Sanctify, that means in your mind, set apart Christ as Lord. Amen? And so, descendant of David, what does that mean? He is king. And I think both those phrases just kind of go together, that he is the sovereign, living king. According to my gospel, this is the gospel that I am preaching, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. People around here, call me the scum of the earth. It's okay. I know Christ. He is Lord. And people can say what they want to say, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment notice that phrase, as a criminal. Can you feel the pain in that phrase? You're living a life that is righteous in the sight of the kingdom of God, and others are, everybody around you, fellow prisoners, guards, whoever it is calling you the scum of the earth. And I'm going to close with this, end of verse 9. But the word of God is not imprisoned.
Understand that? They've imprisoned me. Timothy, they may well imprison you. But Timothy, remember this. And we're closing on this. The Word of God is not imprisoned. David, Ryan, Jonathan, Steve, guys, the Word of God is not in prison. We might get in some kind of an accident today, end up in the infirmary, on some kind of a bed in the hospital, and be in a weakened state, and be you have the announcement we're going to be dead within several days. Men, the Word of God is not weak. The Word of God is not going to die. The Word of God is not infirmed. It's got as much power when we can barely open our eyes and speak as it does when we're feeling great and you know, running the 440. Okay? Everybody got it? The Word of God is not in prison. God uses His Word to bring salvation to others. Whatever our state, we speak it. And we trust God to work His perfect work in the souls of others. Amen? So, gentlemen, follow me as I follow Christ. And if it means there's going to be some degree of suffering in the way, that's the plan of God. Thank you, Father. It's easy for us to speak and this whole thing about suffering, and you know, we're standing here in air conditioning with most of us pretty good health, and most of us not really having a clue as to what suffering is, for the most part. But thank you that we are enveloped by your grace, beginning of chapter 2. We can be strong in the grace of God. That we're totally forgiven, that we're totally at peace with you because of and only because of the cross. And friend, if you've never spoken these words to the Lord, I am pleading with you, speak these words to Him. Jesus, thank you for creating me. Thank you for coming to this planet to teach me what real life is about. Thank you for purposely going to a cross. And on that cross, taking my sin on your body, becoming sin in my behalf, one who never sinned. Thank you for bearing the wrath of the Father in my place. I'll never understand what that was to do that, but thank you. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for rising again, just completely blowing the sides out of death and the penalty of sin. Thank you for ascending into heaven 40 days later, for being present right now, turning the lights on, offering me the gift of eternal life. And Jesus, I trust you for the gift of eternal life. And at the same time, I am trusting you as my risen, sovereign Savior and Lord. I am yours as a soldier, as an athlete on your team, as a hardworking farmer, you being the boss, I am yours. I'm available for service. I trust you. Amen and amen. This area is open if anybody desires prayer regarding anything, might be healing. Might be you just need someone to talk to, something emotional is going on, whatever it is, relationship stuff. Main thing is, if you want to trust Christ as your Savior and Lord, let's make sure that is solid. And there'll be folks, male and female, kind of watching for you, elders and their wives, and life group leaders, kind of watching for you. And so if you come down, there'll be others here available to join you. And to pray any way that God is leading your heart. Small groups, for life groups for all ages following this time, listed on the backside of your bulletin. God bless each one of you, and God make you a blessing.